All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fucking ears, what the fuck aloha? Yeah, that's right. Listen to this. That's the real ocean. It's the ocean. I hope it's not just coming off as noise, but I thought, like, I'm in Hawaii. I should do something. I should get outside and do something. I'm in Kauai. I'm looking out at the sun is just setting. Maybe it just set. It's not dark, but you know, right after it sets where it's just purple. Yeah, it's like purple with clouds, purpley clouds. Now I'm right by the water with the equipment, right here by the water. Oh, all this lava rock. I hope the wind doesn't fuck things up. So anyways, a couple of people looking at me weird. That's fine. I can live with that. That happens wherever I am. Now it's just happening for a specific reason on the beach in Kauai. You know what? I've come here for years and years. This may be the third or fourth time that I've been here. And I love it. And I've always tried to figure out why I love it. Because a lot of people don't necessarily picture me as an outdoorsy guy or even a recreation-based person. A guy who likes to get outdoors and do things. But au contraire, is that how you say that? I am not really an outdoorsy guy. But when I come here, it's so fucking compelling, man. Can you hear the water? Like, I'm out in the middle of the fucking Pacific. It took 5 hours to fly here. It was horrendously stressful for me and anxiety inducing to fly over water that long, because I don't know about you, but I feel much more comfortable if I were to crash and land. And I think I've talked about this before, but I'm more comfortable with that. I fly over water. I'm like, if we go down, it could take weeks to find us, and I'll be strapped into that dumb chair at the bottom of the ocean with crabs and things and fishes eating out my eyeballs. It's just sitting out there. I'd rather just be destroyed and spread across the prairies, on land where, maybe we're findable. They're not just strapped. There's just something very lonely about the vision of being strapped in one of those dumb fucking airplane chairs, perhaps next to, a couple of strangers and maybe one person just sitting there at the bottom of the ocean dead. How lonely is that? Imagine if you were in a first class seat. You'd be a little more comfortable, but it'd just be you alone sitting there. Look at this fucking ocean. Just sitting there at the bottom of it, dead, alone, no one finding you. But you got the good chair, right? You got the good seat strapped in while you slowly decompose and crabs and things eat your eyes. Not for me. But getting back to the positive part of Hawaii, it's just beautiful. I don't know how to explain this, but I've always been compelled towards animals like walruses, polar bears, elephants, large animals that lumber through the world. Solitary-like in my mind, even though both of them probably hang out with other animals like them, but in my mind, just big animals that exude a certain loneliness, but a sort of steadfast sort of feeling. Ooh, there's a cruise ship just yonder. There are people about 2 miles out. I see a cruise ship right now. There's just people wondering when they're going to eat next. When are they going to ring the bell? When does the bell ring for snacky snack? So anyways, I'm here with Sarah, and I went past the Nepali coast. I took the boat. I've done this stuff before. I've been here with several different women. You guys know this. Doesn't matter. This is where I go. This is where I feel comfortable. This is where I enjoy vacationing. We're way up on the north side, and I need to see a sea turtle again. I need closure on that. But it's massive. I can't understand what's so amazing about it. It's like seeing, when you take a boat around the Nepali coast, you're like, oh my God, I can't even wrap my brain around how beautiful and large it is, how prehistoric it is, how unfucked with it is. There's something about big and unfucked with that's very compelling to me. And almost, it's spiritually satisfying. It's almost like mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing when you take a boat to see the Nepali coast and you go around the coast. Mind-blowing. And you get quite nauseous on the boat, but not unlike heroin. Sometimes you just got to get through the nausea to the good stuff, and then you got to get the nausea on the way back. But I don't feel like I have to go see the Nepali coast every day, and if I don't, I wouldn't kill to see the Nepali coast every day, or steal TV sets to see the Nepali coast every day. That would be a very exotic addiction, and I imagine it would run its course after two or three times. So who's on the show today? Today on the show is Gottfried, I think, or Judd Apatow. I guess I got to do intros for both. Gottfried finally is on the show today from my garage. Gottfried, I'm trying to get up. Here we go. Whoa. He's hilarious, and I like talking to him. We have a long-standing frenemy relationship. I love him, though. I love him. Oh, yeah, man. Go to WTFpod.com/calendar. Please. Please. Portchester. Please. Red Bank, New Jersey. Please. Huntington, New York. Please. Brooklyn's doing fine. All right, at BAM Opera House. But the other surrounding dates, I need people. I got family coming to Red Bank, New Jersey. You're going to leave me hanging with the small crowd with family? Half empty room so they can go like, nah, see, I knew it was all hype. Are you going to do that to me? I'm not being desperate here. Maybe a little, but I just like, maybe you don't know that I'm coming. I don't know. Maybe you're all driving to New York. That's my assumption, that you're all driving to the BAM Opera House. There's still a few tickets left over there, but that's looking good. Red Bank, New Jersey. Huntington, New York. Portchester, New York. Come on, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th of this month, or soon. It's fucking beautiful down here. I'll tell you though, man, I got this urge. You know, I went to this place called the Lava Pools, Molokai Lava Pools, and there's this area that many years ago, when I was here with my first wife, we took a snorkeling. You could just jump in the water anywhere. And I've talked about this before, but I went to where I jumped in the water and swam with the fucking dinosaurs, with the sea turtles. I went to where, and it's dangerous. I don't know who that mark was, but this mark wants to do it again. It looks dangerous. It's very rough up there, but there's something so invigorating and inviting about the dangerous water. It's not shark infested. It just looks rough and intense, but it's very inviting. I just want to get in and get under the intensity and see if I can find some dinosaurs. I only saw a couple. I only saw their heads. I saw some goats. Saw the dinosaur crabs. I've eaten some good food. Almost wrecked the car once because these bridges are complicated. I'm trying to clear my head. I'm doing all right. There's very exciting things happening on WTF. Just wait. You just wait. All right? Don't act like I didn't say that some exciting shit's going to happen. All right? All right, so let's talk to Godfrey. You'll love this. We bust each other's balls. let's do something. Every now and then, there's a decision that's a no-brainer, and I can tell you from experience, it was a no-brainer to use Stamps.com when we started using it 11 years ago. Crazy. 11 years ago. Now, more than a decade later, Stamps.com is better than ever. The Stamps.com mobile app is like having a post office in your pocket wherever you are. You can take care of things on the go, like mailing checks, sending invoices, legal documents, and more. Easily schedule package pickups through your Stamps.com dashboard. And when you need to take care of shipping, all you need is a computer and printer. Stamps.com even sends you a free scale. Make the same no-brainer decision that over 1 million other businesses have with Stamps.com. Sign up with the promo code WTF for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code WTF.
Some of that. I had a guy make me hats,
yeah,
and t-shirts. They were pretty good. He made me a fucking, it was a sick hat, man.
Yeah.
It was so sick, and then I just was like, nah, man, I can't.
What?
What?
What do you mean you
the
can't?
The hats were sick. The caps were so cool. I think I might do that again, that cap shit. It's just merchandise. I'm no
worse
than
it. What was on
the
cap?
It was a G, but it was such a cool G. You know how you have Green Bay?
Yeah.
You have Georgia has a G.
Yeah.
But this G was like, oh, it looked like a hat, cap you would wear.
Right.
It wasn't cheesy.
Is it Godfrey G?
It was a Godfrey G. It was a Godfrey G, but it was a sweet ass G.
So people, but they're going to have to explain that. Right?
Yeah.
That, I mean.
But the G, it looked like a hat. It
doesn't matter. Didn't matter. Some people be afraid to ask. They just think they should know.
I know.
What G is that?
Oh, for God. Godfrey G.
Who?
He's such an asshole.
No, I said that. I say that because it happens to me. It happens to me.
Well, when comedians.
Come on.
When comedians sell merch. We're just trying to do it like a sports guy. You're a fan of, you know, you wear something that says, yo, what's that? Oh, these are the South Carolina Blue Devils.
Right.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Now you got to go, well, for the comedian. That's the comedian guy, God for his soul.
Right. Now, you know the guy from the thing. He's in that movie. The black dude.
With the Snoop Dogg movie. Yeah. You know that movie Soul Plane?
Do you remember the second guy in the 7-Up commercials? Not the first guy.
The second one? And then they canceled it?
Yeah, the second guy.
That dude.
Yeah, he's on for like 3 commercials.
I did 21.
You did 21 of those?
I did about 20-something of those.
That was when it was all going to happen, right?
I don't know.
But I took it in stride. You know what's so funny? Is I never thought like that.
No.
I was like, yo, hey, I'm going to do it while I can get it and then keep it moving.
Well, didn't you have that fallback plan to teaching the martial arts or something?
No, I just took it. Yo, are you recording right now?
Oh, yeah.
Yo, I know you ain't talking shit.
No.
Remember the Buzzcocks?
We always have a good
You were on your way.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Buzzcocks? I go, oh, shit.
I hated every
second
of that.
It was, I know, you look so angry.
Every second.
You know what's so funny?
I'm so glad it didn't work out. You know what I like about
you? Is you had a show and you still angry. You were still shitty.
It was terrible. It was like, the only reason I did it was because I was out of my first divorce.
And I know.
Bro,
it's a Mishno. Was it Mishno?
No.
Oh,
that's the first one.
Wait a minute. Twice?
Yeah. The Buzzcocks was after the first divorce. And I was dating Mishna.
And that was a friend of me and Artie's.
Right.
Mishna.
How is he doing?
He's doing good, man.
Is
Artie's doing
good. No one ever talks about Artie.
Because no one gives a shit. Because
I ask people about Artie.
It's all about Tracy Morgan, which they all were in the fucking car.
Yeah.
Harris Stanton, another comedian, was in the car, broke his wrist. Guy Jimmy Mack died. I never knew Jimmy.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But Artie, it didn't sound good at first.
You know how I heard about Artie in the accident? I was sleeping. You know, you ever, you know, on the road and leave the TV on?
Yeah.
Left the TV on, CNN. I'm in sleeping. I hear Artie Fuqua. I wake up to that.
Yeah. Thinking, and I'm like, he made it.
He made right. I'm thinking I'm like, Artie's on CNN, but it's because of the accident. Ugh. And so he broke his femur.
Oh, okay.
Not the tibia muscle, which is the bottom.
I know.
The femur.
Rough. Pins?
Yeah, he has like a steel rod. So he's going through rehab. He's fine. They put him in an induced coma just because he had brain, you know, it was some swelling.
That's what I was worried about.
And so we waited for a while, and everybody started calling me.
Yeah.
Asking me
why they put him in an induced coma.
He had to have his stuff stabilized because, I guess, to heal his brain to heal.
He got a concussion.
He got concussion. He doesn't even remember the accident.
But is his brain okay otherwise?
His brain is fine. He's shitting on people again.
But like
no. None of that shit.
No,
he's like quick and fast.
Remember the accident. Why would
does it? Why? Yeah. I mean, I go, what happened? He goes, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
It's bad.
It was, yeah. He doesn't remember that.
I'm so good. That's so good to hear he's okay.
Everybody went to visit him. A lot of people called him, you know.
People
that usually wouldn't fuck with Artie
actually
called him. I said, well, I hope it doesn't take an accident for you motherfuckers to like actually give a shit about the guy.
If anything happens to you, I'll make sure to think about calling.
Really? You think about
it? Yeah. I'll be like, yeah. How well do I know that guy really?
How would you say I talk?
You talk articulately and clearly.
Say that again. You don't even know how to say articulate.
I have a speech impediment.
With your L's. You got the Tom Brokaw shit.
Yeah, I got some of that.
When you get to your L's, it's like your tongue looks at me and gets confused.
Yeah. It doesn't do it right.
Really?
Articulately. It's got... That's pretty close.
I wish people could see what I'm looking at. Your tongue is stupid.
It does. It doesn't do the right L.
Your tongue stinks. Do it one more time.
Articulately. It doesn't do the right thing.
Articulately.
I know, but I say W's.
There's some words I struggle on.
Rolling L's is what I have.
I want to make sure I know white dudes that with speech impediment, because you guys are always trying to shit on black dudes and we can't speak English, but you fuckers are sitting up there with good jobs having speech impediments.
I do not represent the white race.
You don't? Good.
No. Speech impediment. I just said impediment.
You said impairment?
Impediment. I have a speech impediment. I'm white, but while you were looking for me to tell you that you don't talk like a black man.
Right.
You were digging for that.
I was digging. I thought you would fucking get in.
No.
But you're not like that.
No, I don't. I don't see race. You're just a black guy in my garage.
You know, you know what you sound like? Sound like Tarantino in Pulp Fiction.
I would not.
Storage. This is live Negro storage.
You can't even do it.
But you know what? I used the N-word yesterday at the comedy store. I mean, I don't. That's not my thing. And it's like the word pussy. I don't.
The Comedy Store brought it out of you.
No. Nigger or pussy.
Yeah.
I don't like that word as describing vagina. That's just not my thing.
I like pussy.
No. I like to call somebody a pussy.
Yeah.
But I don't go, yo, ladies, man, when you get your pussy right.
Yeah.
I'm not. That's just not my flavor. Wait,
I don't think you say anything like that.
I like to say vaginas.
You do?
Yeah, well, but I'm not really into the sex jokes like that.
Sure.
I like edge. I talk about race. You know, I'm all about race. Sure. All about race. All the time. Even if we're in a peaceful setting, I want to bring the shit up.
Do you?
Like right now, I'm like, man,
you
Mark.
You feel like it.
It's very serene here, Mark. You got all kind of cool shit, but I want to bring up race.
Well, I have black people on the wall. There's Howlin' the Wolf over there.
Of course. Every white man has a blues singer on their wall.
And Chuck Berry's not a blues singer.
Oh, you don't think he came from the blues?
He did, but he's not. I wouldn't call him a blues man.
He's the king of rock and roll. Elvis.
That's
how's
right.
That?
Exactly. I'm with you on that.
The shit he did with guitars, even though he fucked little girls and all that shit, he's fucked up. But Chuck Berry was way better than Elvis.
Did he fuck little girls? Or he took pictures of.
He
took pictures of people in the restroom of his restaurant.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
and I think he peed on a lady.
He peed on a lady. Yeah, every time a cool, like artsy, smart, intellectual, eclectic white dude, I go to their house, they always have black blues players on their walls.
I would. I just I'm getting my Kanye portrait framed right now, and I'm gonna have that put in. Later.
You're gonna interview Kanye. You'll interview famous black dudes.
I would like to.
A lot of your Can I tell you something about your podcast? This is what I kind of like about the Champs. You heard about
Chance. All they interview is black people.
Well, dude, all you guys interview is white people.
I'm trying. I'm trying to mix it up.
No, it's not hard. You sound like networks, man.
It's not that hard.
It's not hard to mix it up.
It's not as easy.
No, you
as
just
got to
go, just like let them in.
No,
just open
no.
The fucking
it's like,
door.
All right, can I talk to the guy that has Cat Williams' phone right now? Is there a guy that carries his phone?
There's so many black comedians.
No,
it's
just Cat Williams.
Same motherfuckers. Like
he's
that.
Funny. Let's get back to this racing. I'm trying to book more black people. I did a whole episode.
You should book more black people.
I am. I did a whole episode of my TV show about it. I had Bruce.
No,
play himself.
I told you at fucking Austin Moon Tower to put me on that show on an episode of your show. I said, why don't you have more black people on your fucking podcast? And you use Bruce instead of me?
I think he's got a bigger name than you.
Oh, you're such an asshole.
Doesn't he? Bruce?
Bruce is my man. Bruce is huge.
Right, exactly.
But wait a minute.
What?
I told you that. We talked about it.
You sure reminded me.
We talked about it in the green room.
I know. There was some guy.
You wouldn't put Bruce on and not me, and I brought the idea up to you.
Well, he plays a very, very popular black comedian.
Listen.
And he plays himself. Like, if I said, I got to
hope
I can get.
Holy shit.
I hope I can get
God. And I'm not knocking anything. I don't want no
beef. We'll take care of it.
I love Bruce, but how do I get on? And I gave you that idea. How can I get on your show?
You gave me that idea.
I say, why don't you have an episode of where a black comic says, how come you never have any black people on your podcast? And you said, yo, that's a good idea.
Oh,
are you
shit.
It was at Moon Tower in Austin, Texas.
Do you know how long black people have been telling me that I need to put more black people on? Do you know how long that's
it's
been
not, Listen, it's not, okay, listen, no one's waking up going, I got to get on Mark Maron's
No, I think
podcast.
Some of them
no
are.
No black people.
No?
I don't think so.
Well, see, that's the problem then.
No, it's not the problem, but we already automatically think you don't want us.
I want you.
No,
I want all black comics.
Can I tell you something that happened?
What?
Jamie Masada at Laugh Factory got a letter faxed to him saying that some white comedian, I guess the white comedian sent him, hey, we're tired of you putting up all these black comedians. You're discriminating against white comedians. He puts up five of them.
Yeah.
And he just got the letter the other day.
Yeah. And what did he say?
And Jamie's like, listen, buddy, someone tried to threaten me, put black comedian. I put all kind comedian everywhere. What the fuck you talk about? I don't know what Jamie was saying.
Yeah.
But he goes,
first of all, that's almost like an Asian Jamie.
He has Asians work for him.
Yeah.
So it's Asian versus Persian accent.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, hey, I put many comedians.
I need more Asian comics too and more Latino comics.
Why don't you? There's Elliot Chang. There's Helen Hong. Have you interviewed Helen Hong?
Are you making these names up?
No, she's funny as shit. Helen Hong. There's a lot of You did Steve Byrne, right? Steve Byrne?
Yeah, I did Steve Byrne.
Byrne, he's half Asian, but whatever. There's a lot of them. You just got to
I got to get out there.
You don't have to get out there. Have your booker get them. You got people to do shit for you, man. Everybody knows about What the Fuck. Just why don't you, do they have to be super famous?
Wow. No, clearly. I'm interviewing you. I interviewed.
That was a good one. I opened the door because I want you to fucking whoop. I want you to get on me. That's
you
good.
Like it. You like
I
it.
Fucking love it.
You
I'm not.
Kick out of
why?
It.
Who wouldn't be on a Marc Maron cast and get fucked up by your sarcasm?
No, I know, but I don't do it to everybody. Oh, there's only certain people that I have that relationship with.
I've seen you interview some people, and I just go, "That ain't Mark. Mark is laughing too much." Mark is full of shit.
I'm the new Mark.
Mark's like this. Really? So, tell me about your.
That.
I go. Mark is actually
like
interested
that.
In somebody.
I'm interested. you only know me from the back of comedy clubs.
I know, but that's the raw shit.
Defensive. Here it's comfortable. It's my
it's
home.
Comfortable. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're so like right. That's,
yeah. It's
that's
normal.
True.
I'm a normal guy.
Because usually, you know,
you got one impression of me, and
Mark's.
You draw it out of me. You demand it.
I do.
You need to be taken down a notch always.
That's fine. I'm here to get taken down a notch. I'm not being surprised by by your kindness. That's the only thing I'm being fucking surprised by.
We're here to celebrate your career.
There it is again. You're like Mayweather, man. You'll have your hands up and then boom. you'll throw a punch.
No, but I don't know a lot about you. So where'd you grow up?
Chicago.
Really? Always in Chicago?
Chicago.
Where were you born? Were you born?
Lincoln, Nebraska.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not fucking around.
Why'd your parents?
Because that's where they went. Shit. Nigeria, from Nigeria to Lincoln, Nebraska.
How does that happen?
Airplane?
No, I know that.
What the
fuck? Like your dad said what?
He's like, no, what the fuck?
I'm looking for a place to live. I'm getting out of Nigeria.
I'm getting out of Nigeria, but he went to school there. He was a teacher. My father was a teacher, and he got his. He went to a teacher school. Out at Dana College. It's now defunct. Now it's called Midwestern University.
In Nebraska.
Got his master's in teaching there and then came to, and then moved to Chicago. I was 2 years old.
What? So your father, because you used to
my parents.
You used to do a great bit about the way your father talks.
Yes.
Which I enjoyed.
Mufasa. What are you doing? And it meant, you know what's so funny?
Yeah.
So my girlfriend met my dad. She goes, oh my God, he talks like that. I go, I told you. She didn't even understand his accent. He was just talking to her normally like, so where do you go to school? She was like, what is he saying? I go, he asked you, where are you going to school? He's like, so where do you go to school?
That's And she couldn't understand
she
that?
She couldn't understand.
Is she a moron?
No. Your name is not that far from moron. Yo. Right, stop, Mark.
I like how you draw the line. Don't talk about
Don't
my
you
girlfriend.
Talk about girl. Yeah, fuck yeah, that. Yeah, only if you praising her.
Yeah.
Damn it. That's
well,
it.
No, I just seemed easy to understand to me.
Yo, he was talking, just talking regular
he's
stuff.
Talking, he's got a different rhythm.
Yeah, his rhythm's different. Of course, the accents hit different words.
Right.
You know, he speaks the King's English. So they were British educated, my mother and my father. So they're, you know.
Do you have family in Nigeria?
Plenty. And in London, plenty all around Africa, and plenty in London too.
Really?
Yeah, because Nigerians are you kidding me? Nigerians and Jamaicans and Indians live in London, man.
Right, but like that's interesting because like it's not the American black story. It's different.
It's very different, and I can't sell that for shit.
No, no one cares.
I don't think I'm. I think when I tell people I'm African, they don't. I'm not the African they want. Want them they
really?
Want to see I'm not the listen I have a show I want to pitch to you. This one is very good. Wait till you see this one. It's about my parents come to America. Then my white friend is my roommate. Oh my goodness, this is going to be a good one. See, I don't have that help African accent, so white
that?
People don't get excited by that shit.
Try that.
I should go, I have something to pitch. How do you say pitch this well? In the beginning, this would be a good story. See, I'm talking like a hip guy, like, yo, you know, I'm African. So they're like, oh, he's African. I don't really believe that.
But you never had culturally an accent. Is there a language that your parents speak?
Igbo. My tribe is Igbo.
Yeah. Really? How many tribes are there in Nigeria?
There's about 10, 11, 12.
Really?
A gang of them. Yoruba. Udu, Hausa, but the popular ones are Igbo and Yorubas, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My mother spoke two tribal languages. She grew up in Lagos, Nigeria.
Yeah.
There's 120 million people in fucking Nigeria, right?
Wow.
Yeah, it's large city. It's a fourth leading exporter of oil in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's
a big exporter of men who sell fake Rolexes too.
Oh, that's Senegal.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Sorry, my mistake. Was that racist?
No.
It was misunderstanding.
You're an Africanist.
Okay.
Can't believe it. You got your Africanist wrong,
I
man.
I fucked it up.
You fucked it up.
All right.
That's like Kenya and Senegal. Like in New York?
Yeah.
Like, brother. Yeah. I have a Rolex for you. Rolex.
Those are Senegalese?
That's Senegalese. brother, come. I got good watch for you, brother.
Yeah, yeah.
Good. Yeah. Very good. Good. I'm gonna get you your African shit right.
Okay.
Now, if you go to Ethiopia, it's more. They talk real. Because the sizes of their heads kind of like this, you know.
I didn't say it.
No, I'm anthropologically telling you, my head, I got a West African head.
Really?
And our languages match our heads.
Ethiopians are different. They're almost Arabic looking.
Right, they got the Eastern, because it's closer to that region.
Right.
You know what I mean? That part of Africa is where Saudi Arabia connects and all that other
right.
shit. So you have that, when they talk, they're skinnier.
Yeah.
You know, they have the smaller heads.
Right.
And their language is lighter. Very safe.
Yeah.
Ours is like, see, I got that head.
Yeah.
For it.
Yeah.
It's anthropologically true.
Okay.
There's nothing racist about that.
Okay.
I'm breaking it down to you, man.
Well, no, it's because there's people, they stay within the tribes, within the country.
Right. And right. then they have European influence like Ethiopia.
Yeah,
has.
When the Dutch come over and fuck.
Well,
some, and
the makes... Dutch fucked around a lot of shit. Like in Africa, it was English came yeah. from West Africa. I mean, I'm talking about Nigeria is England.
Right.
Ethiopia was Italy. Mm-hmm. Italy, Mussolini, Italy came.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Ethiopians speak Italian.
Oh, yeah.
So you got that. And we had Dutch and Belgium was all in the con. I mean,
yeah.
Europe fucked Africa up. Like,
yeah.
fuck, just stuck its dick in Africa and just sodomized it for yeah. a long time.
So your parents come from which tribe?
Igbos.
The Igbos.
But my mother spoke Yoruba also. She spoke two languages.
Right.
I'm an Igbo guy.
Yeah.
And they spoke that language. They used broken English a lot when I was growing up. My sister understands it totally.
You don't.
Because she was born there. Me and my brother are like, we understand broken English.
Right.
When they speak broken English, I get it. But
that's what my pieces parents got of Igbo? Lazy.
Yeah, pieces of Igbo.
Yeah.
Sounds like
that's
a jazz
new CD.
Album. That's the news of Miles Davis.
Yeah, yeah.
Pieces of Igbo. Igbo. It's the way to go in jazz. But I have that. Hey, pretty good, man.
Thanks, buddy.
You like jazz?
Sure.
Listen, I asked you that because every white guy I know loves jazz and blues.
Yeah.
So you are in love with black dudes.
Yeah, but I don't go all crazy about it.
Now you want to say you don't go crazy about it, but I'm saying when you're a guitar player, if you're a musician,
I have a great deal of respect for
music that black people have brought.
I'm willing to admit
music's
that.
Black.
It's a myth. I admit
black
that.
And music are synonymous.
Look, you need me to say I love black dudes?
Yes.
You and on the fence. I'm on the fence with you usually. But yeah, there's some black dudes that I love. They've changed my life.
But you like black dudes that are dead and are imposters. Well, no, Chuck Berry's still alive. But you like, you know how there's...
I said I like Cat Williams.
That is true. But I think it's because he's huge.
No, he's funny.
No, Cat is phenomenally funny. He's unreal.
Every time I watch him, I'm like, holy shit.
He's so good.
Yeah, he is.
He's so smart.
He's like the best.
Cat Williams is so smart, so gangster. He's all of that in one.
Yeah.
You know, he introduced me, and I'm not lying. He introduced me one day. We were at this post-Emmy or Grammy some shit party.
Yeah.
So, and he said, I'm going to introduce you to some motherfuckers. I was like, all right. And guess who the first person he introduced me to? The first person, Martin Landau.
Really?
Man. He goes, Martin Landau, legendary, goes, hey, what's up, Cat? I go, holy shit. And then Cat goes, I'm gonna introduce you to somebody else. Fucking, there's music playing. It's jazz.
Where is it?
It was at some post like Grammy or Oscar party. Uh-huh. And then he introduces me. Guess who's playing jazz piano?
Who?
Jeff Goldblum.
Right. Yeah, he likes to play jazz
piano.
I'm
like, oh my God. He goes, hey, what's up, Cat? How you doing, Cat? I was like, fuck. He goes, what's up, Jeff? He goes, I'm doing fine, Cat. Yeah, it was unreal. Cat is a fucking gangster, man. Cat Williams is a gangster.
Yeah.
Straight up. He's
love
awesome.
I love that.
That's why he
show.
Still does arenas.
Yeah.
And he's just awesome. He's thorough and he's been doing this for a long time. So it's not some overnight bullshit.
There's Muddy Waters too.
Of course you have Muddy Waters.
But with
Manish Boy?
I have Muddy Waters with a fucked up guitar and that natural hair. Like, you don't see the picture with the natural fro.
No, it's always
often.
Greased down.
Yeah,
it's
look at that. Down. He's got it up in that picture. That's a rare shot.
That's very rare shot.
Him in a full fro, man.
See, but you know how, look at you got You know what's so funny is your place looks even cooler because you got blues dudes on. Every white dude puts black cool dudes on.
What are we supposed
to
do? You want me to have Cornel West up?
Cornel West, that's hot. But I'm saying, as much as white dudes talk shit about us, they always got us on their t-shirts. You always got black dudes.
I don't talk any shit about you.
I'm just saying other
people. What you're saying is I don't talk to you enough. It's like
I'm just doing what you guys do, categorizes. So white dudes.
I don't know if I want to be in the same thing.
Okay, good. Good for you.
But okay.
I'm just testing. I'm just checking.
I know what you're trying to draw a line. I don't know if that helps.
But I like you that because you don't like a lot of motherfuckers, whether they're white or black. And I like that. You're equal opportunity mother. You just.
I don't.
Oh, yes, you do. I think, you know what's worse to you than racism? Being a hack. Mark Maron, if hacks were a race, Mark would be like, you'd be like a Nazi.
I've softened up a bit, you know?
You'd have Mike Bernie.
So you have older sister?
Yes, I have an older sister. She lives in Dallas with three kids.
Just one older sister?
One older sister and one younger brother.
So, really? What's that guy do?
My brother just works and just chills out in Chicago.
Yeah?
He does martial arts. Yeah, teaches martial arts and shit.
Oh, he teaches martial arts?
Yeah.
That one that you used to do?
Oh, his is Wushu. I did Hapkido.
Hapkido?
Yeah.
Wushu?
Wushu is like that Jet Li shit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He can fly?
Yeah, he can fly and he talks in a fucking weird dubbed voice. And he laughs.
And your sister just lives in where, Texas?
Yeah, just in Texas, Dallas.
Yeah.
She's in the medical business.
Really?
Management, yeah.
And your dad still teaches?
My dad has passed away.
Sorry.
And my mother and my parents are gone.
Both of them?
I know, yeah. Didn't I just, what are parents, motherfucker? Both.
There's a pair.
Yeah, motherfucker. Parents, you go, both of them? You said both of them? Yeah.
Motherfucker. Oh, I'm sorry, man.
I said my parents. No, they're gone. My mother, like 13 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Leukemia.
Uh-huh.
My father, I think, just from being alone. I swear.
After
died? My father. But he was around for like 10 years. But I just think he was just done being by himself. I just think it was that thing, you know. He was a healthy dude. And all of a sudden, deterioration, man. I couldn't believe it. I was like.
How old was he?
My father, he never really told us his age.
Really?
Yeah.
You had no idea.
You're not supposed to ask in Nigerian culture. You don't ask elders their age and shit.
Really?
I'm not even bullshitting you. My father used to always say he was 100.
Uh-huh.
Or he's like, how old are you, Dad? He's like, 100.
So did you go to Nigeria?
Yeah, I've been there. It was something else. It was a trip.
Like what? And yeah, how much
Lots
family?
Lots of people.
Yeah,
Lots of people.
How many relatives you got there?
Lots of them.
Yeah?
A lot of poverty, too. Got some wealthy ones, but some lot of poor. And then you see the poverty, you go, wow, America ain't shit. Our poverty is bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what's so funny is about our poverty in America is like you can actually get out of that shit.
Right.
That's why I go, a lot of motherfuckers are just lazy and kind of just, I'm not drugged out, sometimes drugged out. And that's fucked up. But when you see third world, you just go, fuck.
Sometimes I think that like it's a misconception that, that everybody can just get out of poverty.
I didn't say you can just get out, but I think that there are some avenues if you really make your mind to go, hey, man, I know it's not going to be easy, but I'm talking about when you go to third world, you go, where the fuck do they start?
Yeah. And
holy shit.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, you just go.
With toilets, maybe. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's like they're just happy to get a bucket of water. The whole town celebrates. Water. Nice. We got water. Water. Oh, no. Let's celebrate. Do da da do da do da da da. Water. 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 What? I'm killing on what the fuck, everybody. Ooh, nah, what? Hey, if you want to make Mark laugh, make sure you come to his house. Because outside of that, he'd have looked at you like, fuck are you doing?
Yeah, this is the best. This is the best seat.
And Mark's red, too. Yeah. He's red.
Yeah.
He's red right now. This is fucking great. No, but I'm serious, though.
But
I had relatives are really, really poor. It's like poverty.
But your parents came from a middle class in Nigeria?
No poverty. Very poor. But my father was a very, like, I'm going to school. He's very smart. He had like four brothers and a lot of kids. And he'd made up his mind like, oh, fuck this. I want to get the fuck out of here.
So you got all these cousins there.
Cousins and uncles and all kind of shit. Yeah. And I have some like uncles that have two wives and shit like that. Polygamy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they do that?
Yeah, they do it.
In the tribe?
In Nigeria. Yeah. You can do that. You can have more than one wife. I have a couple of uncles that have that. More than one wife. Shit.
How do they handle that?
Fine.
They just tell them both to shut up. You shut up and you shut your mouth. Go get me something to eat, both of you. Hurry up and get me something to eat or I kill both of you.
No.
No, yes, they do. I don't know. It's probably two motherfuckers getting on their nerves. I don't know.
Where'd you stay when you go down there?
Where'd I stay? Yeah. I stayed at my uncle Sonny Okosun, who was a very famous singer in Nigeria. So we were staying with wealthy shit. He's very famous, but he passed away some years ago. But he was very famous in the 60s and 70s and 80s.
What's his name?
Sonny Okosun.
Do you have his records?
My mother, you know what? I don't know if my parents threw him out, but we would get the first press vinyls.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would come over. They would have concerts in Chicago. It was awesome. You didn't realize how famous my uncle was because he's just my Uncle Sonny.
Right.
And then when I go to Nigeria, they go, well, where are you staying? Sonny Okosun. Sonny Okosun. No, you are staying with him. No, you that is your uncle. No, he's not your uncle. And so all of a sudden, you get all these people going, you are Sonny Okosun, sir? Yeah. It's like, yeah. Damn, he's huge because, you know, in Nigeria.
It's your dad's brother?
It's he married my mom's sister.
Oh, okay.
So he was son, you know. And so what's funny is there's famous singers in Nigeria. Fela is like one of the most famous. Fela. Right. But then there's Fela, there's Ebenezer Obey, then there was my uncle. Sonny, they were like, my uncle was, huge. Like, are you kidding me? Like, my Uncle Sonny was like, he had a huge record in the 70s called Fire in Soweto, where he got in trouble for talking about South Africa. So it was huge. So that was like, I didn't realize that my uncle was that big.
Because he was in Nigeria.
It was Nigeria, but he was like the shit. Like,
Yeah,
man. Fire in Soweto.
I got to check it out.
You guys try to look up for Fire in Soweto.
Because I like, you know who I like Senegalese music.
Senegal. Oh, you like Baba Maal?
Yeah.
Dude, I'm impressed.
Old Baba Maal.
Right. I saw Baba Maal in concert in Brooklyn.
That album, Baba Maal, Mansour Sek.
Yeah.
That fucking record.
Dude, you like
straight up acoustic Senegalese stuff. Because Baba Maal got drums and he got bigger.
Have you seen him live?
No.
Baba Maal is incredible and he has male dancers.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen African dance live?
Mm-hmm. Not live.
You want to see the origin of dance? Watch Africans dance.
I know it's origin of
everything. We're the origin of everything. We're the origin of people, motherfucker.
I understand.
The origin of people. That's why I don't dig this shit of all these biblical shows with no black people. The fuck is that, man?
Yeah, I know, man.
Everybody's white.
I don't know.
Where were we? If we're the first on the planet, where were we when we didn't get to see Jesus? And we speak about Jesus more than anybody, and we ain't even on there.
Yeah, I know. I know.
What do you think? What color do you think Jesus was? What color do you think Jesus was, honestly?
I think he's a made-up man.
There you go. Can I compliment you? First of all, even my girl was like, Marc Maron deserves he's been around a long time. No, I'm really happy for you, man. I mean, genuinely, like, this is your shit. This is perfect for you. I'm glad for your success, and I'm actually happy for you.
What I was going to say is that,
say thank you. How's that?
Oh, thank you.
Jesus Christ.
I apologize.
That's what I love about you, too. You don't give a fuck.
thank you very much.
Anyway, let's move on.
And sorry. I'm happy for you, too.
You keep it real. That's what I like. You always yourself.
I was happy when you thought.
You just kept it moving. You blinked and like, yeah. Ugh.
No, thank you. No, I was happy when you thought everything was going to work out.
Oh, shit. Oh, fucking. Oh, this is what I wanted. I said, please don't let this shit be nice. Please don't let this. I said, I do not want to come on What the Fuck.
And have me just be all nice to you?
Oh, this is so
good.
But
what I was saying is I think I should buy some things. People will seem to enjoy it.
No, it's just, dude, I'm thinking when I'm driving through the neighborhood, I was like, okay, it's a lot of Mexicans and shit. Yeah. But it looks hippie.
It's good.
You live like a hippie. Like, this is cool. I feel like I'm in the 60s.
Where are you living?
I live, right now. Oh, can I tell you why I'm here?
Yeah.
I'm here because I actually got a show. Me, articulate black dude that's not fat or short.
Right.
I actually got a show.
Doing what?
I'm hosting a show. It's on Fox.
Yeah.
It's called Bullseye. And people do different stunts, big time stunts for money. And they get money up to between like 50 grand and up. And it's amazing. And I'm hosting, I'm actually doing a network show.
That's exciting,
dude. We've been
shooting.
I knew that it was real when I saw a helicopter on the set. I go, what the fuck are they about to do with this? Oh, we're gonna be dragging people, and it's really awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm happy
you got a good job.
What's really cool is everybody goes, it's about fucking time, dude. Like, I'm glad it's that.
Yeah.
It's about fucking time.
For you.
For me.
Yeah, no shit.
They say you've been around, and you know, and I heard even like a guy like, you know, Greg Fitzsimmons. You know Greg.
Sure. Happy Greg.
Another sarcastic. Oh my God. Greg goes, that's another thing I can't figure out is why Godfrey hasn't gotten anything. I don't know.
No one can figure it out.
Maybe I pissed somebody off, Mark.
No,
maybe
I think what it is
what do you think?
You are a very big personality.
And there's a lot of people with big personalities that are on TV. What do you mean?
I don't know. I think if I were white,
I'd have at least a lot of pilots. I'd have a lot of pilots to keep money in my pocket.
I don't know because you're very fast and you're very, you know.
Is that wrong?
No, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying that sometimes it's not. I don't know how well you act or whether you know.
I'm a decent actor. I have good chops. Okay. Louis C.K. He put me on his show.
Okay.
That Louis C.K. is one of the a few white dudes that is not intimidated and is not on that dumb black shit. That's why I love Louis, because he put me on the Chris Rock show 3 times. And this is without me. He's put me on his show twice because he told me, hey, man, just be who you are. You're a talented guy.
Yeah.
Not like a lot of these. I don't know what the reason is.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I'm not trying to fuck your girlfriends. Don't worry about me.
No,
My girlfriend is fine and she's black. I don't chase white women.
I never got cast in nothing.
Well, Mark, you did that on your own.
No, what are you talking about?
I thought you were just mad. You got mad at people.
But that's something.
But you're a white dude that's not working. I always say it's their fault.
Yeah,
it's your fault.
That's interesting.
Like Bill Burr said, a white dude that's homeless. He goes, "Come on, man, this shit's set up for you. It's no excuse." Bill Burr said that.
Yeah.
He said it. He said it. He said, "Are you kidding me? What the fuck are you homeless for? This shit is set up for you, man. Come on, man." But I really believe, like a lot of guys I know, like a guy like a Greer Barnes, who is phenomenally talented.
Yeah, what do you think happened there?
I mean, I think, you know, I think that, I mean, listen, we're all at fault at some point. I think there were some moves I made that were terrible.
I think when
I was out here, I was bi-coastal. I had a shitty fucking manager. He was garbage. You know what I'm saying?
How long did that
go? About a year or two. And I'm the type of guy that I'll stick with people because I'm loyal and shit. You know what I mean? I'll stick with people because I'm loyal and I'll get shit on, you know, because I'm loyal to dudes. And I can call somebody else out. Somebody at CAA.
Sure.
I want to call them out, but I won't. But that bailed on me after I stuck with that motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I have found that what you're doing right now has done nothing good for me. So I think we might.
No, but I mean, I'm saying I'm loyal, man. I believe in loyalty, and I like to believe in people.
Yeah.
And then when they shit on me, I'm like, wow, that's fucked up.
But you're also, that just means that we're kind of, you can be suckered.
Well, I've learned now. I actually fired a management like after about 3 months, and I did it. I was like, I'm good. You guys, I told you
not
what I needed.
Yeah.
I told you what I needed. I've been around long enough. I'm not a has been, but I think that, you know, this business is long enough where we can actually get shit. But they weren't, and this is what I know. There's a red flag when they automatically ask for like commission on your already get. You're like, hey, you're at Uncle Funny's. You gonna give us some money on that? I go, wow.
Commissioning gigs you
commissioning
booked.
Bullshit. But it's bull. Yeah.
Yeah, little
and
gigs.
I go, wow, really? You're on that? So I was like, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And I have to tell, like,
can we have our $300?
Yeah. I tell my people that represent me, from my lawyer, who's awesome. Shout out to Jamie Roberts, who's the baddest lawyer on the fucking planet. And I get him to talk to say, hey, man, tell these people that I'm letting them go because I don't want to curse them out. I haven't cursed anybody out. But
I was with my manager for almost 22 years.
What?
Before I moved on.
Who were you with?
Becky.
I was
a long time.
Wow, Becky's a powerhouse, man.
Yeah, but it just wasn't happening for me. So like,
and
know,
I was afraid to talk to him because I thought he already had his black dudes. I thought, you know, once they got their black dudes, you know, heard about that one nigga, one nigga allowed rule, right?
No,
you know, black people say that. You know, they only let one nigga in at a time. It seems Becky has a great success rate. You know, I would love to be.
I was with him for a long time from back when he started.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, we're friends. I talked to him.
He's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, he's a good dude. He's a good dude. But I'm like, damn, maybe I should have went with Becky, or maybe I should. I don't know. Back in the day, I don't know, because I was afraid. I was intimidated. Like, I was like, I think he's going to probably pay attention to those black guys and not me.
I don't know.
It
all comes down to you in the end.
I think it does. It comes down to taking own reins. And
you just need somebody to be there to have your name in play. And then when something happens, to do what needs to be done. The business, it's set up so you can't do what needs to be done.
Right.
You got to have some people that know how to do that shit.
Well, I'm giving a shout out to my agent, Ian Arighetti, who is a fucking badass.
Well, we're all happy that you got something.
So happy. I'm going to tell you, Ian was at Paradigm, and I left when he left and went to Innovative with him. And I'm giving a shout out to Innovative Agency because they actually give a fuck about me.
It's great that you're
they give a fuck about me.
It's about time.
But I mean, they give a fuck about me. Even when I'm not getting shit, they give a damn about me. I'm giving a shout out to Allie Flaughter. Allie Flaughter.
You didn't win an award.
Jim Oliver.
I'm gonna bring the
Alan Duncan, who's my voiceover agent in New York City.
Here comes the music.
I'm giving a shout out to Josiah, all the LA offices and Innovative, Chicago. I'm telling you, they give a shit about me. Even when shit isn't going on, that fucking Ian has got me my live shit.
Okay.
He's kept me afloat.
All right.
Keeping my head above water, not trying to be like good timesy.
Look, and for something to turn around for a guy in his 50s.
Oh yes, another one by Mark Maron. You know what? If there were boxing announcers, they'd be like, "Yes, Mark hits him again. He's stumbling." Oh, you're great. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want to get fucking pummeled by Mark Maron. And you know what's great is you wait. You fucking wait. You just go, and you know, a guy in your 50s. Oh, it's fucking sweet. Yo, say articulately again.
Articulately.
Oh, you're the worst. You're fucking Elmer Fudd. You're like Elmer Fudd. Articulately. You're the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Articulately. But you had a lot of shots. Like, you know, you were like in a way. Not big shots, but you were kind of.
Big shots.
You were like me. They kind of kept you in. You're probably like, I got to get out of this shit.
Because you're such a great comedian. And you're such a fucking. A lot of guys are intimidated by you intellectually.
Yeah.
Like you walk in a room and you're like, "Oh fuck, Mark Maron."
I don't know why that is.
But because you're such a come on, it's
hard. I think I'm just like intense.
You're intense, and you look like you're above all the other comedy.
I know, but I don't think
and
I am.
Your style of comedy is not the easy way to do comedy.
No, it's not the easy way.
You're like the Dennis Millers, the Carlins, you're like intellectually people go,
I wish I could do it the other way.
Your brain doesn't function like that, dude. Yeah. It doesn't function like my brain doesn't function like some, you know, let's be real.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to categorize you when you get on stage. Oh, he's going to do black comedy. My comedy is not the easy way to go. I go into race. I go into heavy shit. I like my intellectual shit as intellectual
as I
want
to be. Do the big funny stuff.
I'm that kind of guy who's a big silly motherfucker. Yeah. But I'm a big Carlin fan. I'm a big time Carlin guy. I got to see him live before he passed, and I like that. I take that other route. I've always been different. You know, I started out in Chicago at Bernie Mac's club, and Bernie took me under his wing.
He
sure did. I knew Bernie very well.
How old were you?
I was like 22.
Really?
And
he was a powerhouse.
And he was already in his like 10, shit. 11 years when I met him.
The first time I saw Bernie Mac and Cedric and who are the other ones?
D.L. Hughley.
Yeah.
And Steve Harvey.
Well, I don't know if it was Steve Harvey, though. Uh-huh. It was the Aspen Comedy Festival.
Oh, shit.
And they brought those guys out there for a showcase.
Powerhouses. Dude.
It was Cedric and Bernie.
Ooh.
And who the fuck else?
I
don't think it was
hungry.
D.L. Must have been the mid-90s.
Yeah. Oof, that's when they were...
And like in these guys, Bernie had already been killing at black clubs.
Yeah.
Like he was a huge star. But he's just up there at a ski area, sweating. It was something to see, man. I'd never seen dudes look more out of place than Cedric and Bernie
in Aspen.
It was beautiful.
I tell you, motherfucker, let me tell you, I don't know, I never seen all these motherfucker white people and shit, but let me tell you, goddamn, I'm tired of this motherfucker shit. This motherfucker crazy as shit. Motherfucker.
That's how Bernie talked.
I know.
Bernie, that was a very Chicago accent, very Southside, Southern Chicago accent. When I first met Bernie, it's so fucking classical. I go up to him. I'm on the north side. I grew up on the north side of Chicago. You've been,
yeah.
Second City. That's where I grew up.
Yeah.
And so very mixed area, whatever. Yeah. I was like, man, I want to do some urban comedy. I want to do urban. They go, well, you need to go see Bernie Mac on the south side of Chicago.
And you're like 22. What, you went to college?
Yeah, I went to the University of Illinois.
And this is after you graduated?
Yeah, yeah.
What did you get a degree in?
Psychology.
How'd that work out?
It was pretty cool. It's good. I've gone beyond my degree using comedy and shit.
I know.
Beyond
what
Freud was talking.
When did you start doing comedy?
What?
When did you start doing comedy?
Around 22, 23.
That's when it started. So you got out of college, you're like, I can't do anything with that fucking degree.
I said, I want to do comedy. I think I want to start comedy. Because in college, I'd seen Tommy Davidson, and I hung out with him, and he hung out with me.
Before he was all fucked up.
Right.
Yeah.
And Tommy, I was like, wow, I really, really want to do this comedy thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we used to always joke around. I went away for college, so we always used to joke.
Where'd you go?
University of Illinois, Champaign.
Not too far.
Fighting a lot. Yeah, 2 hours, 2.5 hours away.
Far enough.
And we used to joke, and I used to, that's in college.
What did you do in college? Play football and shit?
I played a little football, and, you know, I walked on a team, and they said, you're going to be a really good comedian.
Yeah?
I ain't getting no playing time. So I started to really start, I was really militant in college, too. I started getting really militant.
About?
Black history.
Sure.
And it just, we had an African-American cultural center
where
we all came together on Sundays and did our own private, like, we started reading books outside of the curriculum, mm-hmm. and the president tried to stop it.
Really?
Stan Eikenberry. Yeah, he tried to stop it.
Like what books?
Well, let's say Stolen Legacy, The History of Black Civilization, Behold a Pale White Horse, The Autobiography of Malcolm X.
Yeah. You had a problem with that?
Well, they had a problem because we were learning real history and how whites made everything, you know, in the books. When I, you know, growing up in grade school, it was like, hey, slavery and now Martin Luther King.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Must have happened in between.
Right. And probably now they're going, slavery and the NBA. I mean, you know, slavery and...
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You know, so we started to learn, wow, we were doctors, lawyers, we were this, we were that. We did so much, you know. And me being Nigerian, even though I'm an African, still, I'm still an American. I'm treated the same way. That's why I don't understand when Africans come to America, they act like they're better than African Americans, which is fucking stupid because they treat us the same exact way sometimes, kind of,
yeah,
in a way.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
I mean, I've been told in auditions, auditioning for a Nigerian part. I've auditioned for Nigerian parts. They go, you're not African enough. See, they want me to go, hello. Excuse me. Do you have some clothing for me to put on? I only have this loincloth over my cock. You know what I mean? You have actual white people telling me that I'm not African enough,
right,
because they know Africa better than I do.
So, okay. So at 22, you talked to Tommy.
I talked to Tommy, and he hung out. And I said, after I graduate college, I was dating this chick. It was a rebound chick. And she had taken down these notes. And she took down these notes and said, hey, you should like do, you know, I wrote down a lot of the shit you were saying. And I've never heard anybody say it the way you say it.
Yeah.
And the reason why, and I'm being honest, I became a comic, not necessarily, oh, you're funny. Everybody says that. I took pride in the fact that I was this black dude who actually knew about different shit.
Right.
My parents raised me in a very different way. I knew a lot of black movies and black and white movies. I was just into a lot of other shit. I wanted to be an astronaut. I was into NASA and I was boring, but I played a lot of baseball.
Yeah.
My baseball knowledge is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And a lot of black dudes that I knew grew up with, I knew black guys that played hockey.
Yeah.
My friends, they were hockey players, you
right.
know? So I was it was eclectic. I can consider that eclectic.
Right.
So I took pride in that. When I do comedy, I'm going to have so much different shit because every black dude's going to be kind of the same.
Right.
But I'm going to be different.
And
when I started to do Bernie Mac's Club, Bernie was like, he's like, let me tell you why I like you, because you're different. You know what I'm saying? He's like, you know, you got motherfuckers in the audience, and the audience would be like pimps, hustlers. But then Michael Jordan would be there.
Yeah.
All kinds of different people. He's like, but you talk about all this smart shit, but motherfuckers is cracking up. He goes, you're versatile. And that's what I took pride in, was that I was different. That whenever I leave the stage, my thing is, that dude was fucking different. He just talked about other shit. But it wasn't magic. I was just like, why don't I talk about this instead of that?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about this thing. Why don't I talk about that thing?
Right.
And then when I came to New York, which made me 700 times better, when I saw you guys performing, you and Colin and fucking Geraldo, and I was like, wow, now this is what I'm talking about. And then I was like, you know, of course, you know, me, Robert Kelly, and all of us, we were the personality guys. But then eventually, all that, we started to actually write better jokes. And just watching you guys, and I'm actually saying this, watching you guys, I was like, fuck, man, I need to get better jokes.
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
Yeah.
And
everybody will watch Attell and be like,
I got to go back. And we still do. And Attell is still, we have to sell her. You just go, I got to go back and write a better joke.
Where's he got time to do that shit?
God damn it. And I mean, just really great jokes and joke writing.
Crazy.
And you're part of that.
Yeah.
I don't mind complimenting you. Not because I'm on your damn podcast, but you're a fucking phenomenal joke writer.
Thank you.
And so I got influenced. I said, how can I do that, but still be myself, still use my whatever energy, but get, and so now I'm that guy. I can talk about really edgy shit and be, and I'm not happy with myself when it's easy. I'm not happy when I get a cheap laugh. I like it when I get a laugh where people are like, fuck.
Well, yeah, and you do, you really illustrate everything. You play it out.
That's how I do it.
Yeah,
it's Pryor-esque, and Carlin was like that.
Yeah,
he still acted stuff out. But
it's so funny that how did you stay in touch with Bernie all through?
I remember, you remember Keith Robinson?
Mm-hmm.
Keith, one time Keith was
I got to have Keith on for a long one.
Did you have Keith on?
No, I need to. I have him on a live one.
Oh, you got to have him for on. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, Keith, God damn it. Let me tell you something. Yeah. Stupid. What the fuck? I'm so sick of you. God damn it. Keith is phenomenal. Keith was on, he was on tour with Bernie.
Yeah.
And so Keith calls me. And goes, yo, Godfrey, man, I'm on tour with Bernie Mac. You know, he just gave you a compliment. Bernie gets on the phone and says, hey, boy, what's up, motherfucker? I'm proud of you, man. And I said, I told you, Bernie was a good man to me. He used to school me on shit. I was so fortunate to sit there with his wife and him at 3 a.m. when the bar was closed, and he would just sit there schooling me on shit.
Like, what'd he tell you?
He would just be like, listen, let me tell you something. I have to imitate him.
Yeah.
He said, let me tell you something. When the motherfuckers are on stage and shit, you got to understand, it's not about trying to get a standing ovation and shit. You got to be, he said, 50% of performance is being interesting. He's like, fuck a joke. Let a motherfucker like that he's in the same motherfucking room with you.
Yeah.
He said, that's half the battle, is them just liking to be in the room with you. You see some comics that are not even that funny,
yeah.
But they're just fucking, you just want to watch them.
Yeah.
You just want to fucking watch them. He said, half the battle is just, he goes, first of all, you're never going to be super funny five. He goes, too many motherfuckers try to be funny. He goes, that's unreal. He's like, just be interesting.
Yeah.
The funny will be there. It's up and down. You got to take them for a motherfucking ride. You got to tell them a story.
Yeah.
The motherfucker, when you leave the stage, motherfucker, I know about this motherfucker. I know this motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, he fucking, I'm telling you, he schooled me. I mean, I was fortunate to be schooled. I one time, you remember when Jerry Seinfeld was filming his comedian?
Yeah.
I was around there. I got to know the camera dudes.
Yeah.
So Seinfeld, that's how I got in two scenes.
Yeah.
I sat there and Seinfeld like had asked me, he had seen me do this bit about going to Egypt when I had gone to Egypt for New Year's for 2000. Remember the big 2000 Y2K?
Yeah.
I still traveled, you know? And so I went and I came back. And when I came back from Egypt, I had a spot. I dropped my bags and still did my set. And I did this whole set about riding a camel, the camel ride. Seinfeld had happened to see it, and he said, I've been wanting to talk to you. And he sat me down, and I remember Jim Norton was looking annoyed that I was talking to Seinfeld. He goes, hey, man, I just want to give you some, he gave me advice.
About?
About he said, how long have you been doing comedy? And I said, I stuck my chest. I said, I've been doing about 8 years, man. I was like, 8 years. He goes, yeah. Okay, that's kindergarten.
Yeah.
You know, that's kindergarten. Yeah. He goes, remember this. All your years in comedy, it's like your age as a kid. That'll keep your perspective where you won't get too fucking high and mighty with your shit. If you've been doing comedy 8 years, you're an 8 year old.
Uh-huh.
If you've been doing it 10 years, you're a 10 year old. Uh-huh. Just think of it like that. Uh-huh. And you'll just always kind of, you'll just keep, stay even keel. And I think that's fucking cool.
That was the advice he gave you.
He gave, and that, and he talked about certain jokes I do. He goes, sometimes he goes, you don't mind me giving you advice. I said, dude, you have 40 Porsches.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. You give me a hack joke, I'll do it. He goes, like some jokes where you laugh at it, don't laugh at it sometimes. If you stay more serious, it'll have more of a punch to it. Like some jokes you laugh at, I notice, I was just happy as fuck. He goes, be more serious about it and it'll even have more of an effect.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, fucking cool. So yeah. He gave me really good advice. So he's always been really nice to me. You know, Seinfeld, if you don't, he doesn't know you.
Yeah.
He'd be like,
you don't ever talk to me.
Well, that's you.
All right, whatever.
You.
I try not to laugh at my own jokes unless like I'm waiting
you
too long.
You rarely laugh at your jokes. If you laugh, you know you're like, oh,
this
shit.
This guy got to make it work. If I'm laughing at my joke, it's like the last, it's a Hail Mary pass. I give it a few seconds and I'm like,
and so I've learned to stop. But I laugh at some jokes sometimes. I laugh a little bit. I go, yeah, it's funny. I like it. I'm laughing too.
Sometimes it's a habit, though. Like, I've gone through periods in my life where you get in the habit of it.
Mm.
Like when I used to smoke a lot of weed, like, you know, you always
don't smoke anymore?
No, I don't do anything. But, like, that's you're funny. Always half laughing at everything. And then the audience is like, I don't know why he's laughing, but I think I'm laughing too now. You know, it's a trick.
It is a trick.
Yeah.
I'm starting to smoke weed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I just started about 6-7 months ago.
You like did nothing, right?
I did nothing. People ran away from me. Well, yeah. I figured since I had this underlying anger, like, you know.
About what,
like
the Mark black Ruffalo, thing?
About all kind of shit, because of conspiratorial shit. The reason why they didn't pick me, because I'm articulate and smart. I'm not buffooning and all this other shit. And just anger about different things in life.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's subconscious shit that my parents are gone. It could be that. It could be a lot of shit.
You haven't worked that shit through? How long you had it?
How long I've had what?
The anger.
It's been a while. My girlfriend says that. She goes, you're really like an angry dude. It actually fuels like my comedy though. Actually does. It does. Yeah. But.
Do you ever fight people?
No, not really. I'm not really one of those.
Because I'm angry. I get angry.
I'm not a brawler or anything. No. I could talk shit, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I always want to slack the shit out of people. I always want to, in my head, smack the shit out of people. Like I always have pictures in my head of smacking the shit out of somebody.
I used to. I don't have that much anymore.
No, that's good. Good for you.
Yeah,
you
don't know.
I just had this theory that if I start smoking weed now, that maybe this stuff will start mellowing me out. Maybe. I said, let me try it. And I think it might be working. I'm treating my girlfriend better. Like, I'm not getting mad. And when she gets mad at stuff, it's my reaction to her shit. And, and knowing that I did it, I'm like a little bit better, I think. But I'm beginning. I'm not that good at smoking weed. I got edibles. I fucked up. I got these edibles, right? I bought like lollipops, chocolate bars, all shit. And I got a lollipop. Let me try the lollipop first.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting. You know this new channel by Robert Rodriguez, El Rey?
No, it's good.
Oh, fucking awesome. It's like it's Grindhouse.
Yeah.
Kung Fu movies. 70s movies, Italian Western spaghetti.
It's on TV.
It's called El Rey. It's fun. It's awesome. It's Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, I know.
And he interviews different directors.
Yeah,
Coppola. It's awesome. So, and it's for Spanish, English speaking people.
Yeah,
they show Spanish wrestling.
Right. So it's all in Spanish?
No, it's English.
Okay.
But it's for English speaking Spanish people. My fault. Okay. So I was watching all Kung Fu movies, 3 hours of it, and I had this lollipop. I said, let me try this lollipop. Started licking that shit. And the dude that sold this to me said, yo, fucking be careful, dude. This is not a regular lollipop. I was like, whatever, dude.
Yeah.
Lick the fuck out of it. Yeah. And so 40 minutes later, I'm like, shit ain't shit. Let me lick this a couple more times.
Yeah.
Holy shit. 2.5 hours later.
Yeah.
I fucking started moving in slow motion, but I was in regular motion.
Yeah.
And the Kung Fu movie was unreal. No, I'm being serious. Yeah. And when people talk about getting high, and I always used to, and me as the healthy dude used to be like, that's exaggeration.
Right.
I was fucking paranoid. I didn't know what was going on with my fucking legs and my arms were moving slow. And I fucking balled up on the bed like, yo, I'm not leaving the fucking house.
You're in trouble, man.
I was in and I text the dude and I'm like, yo, you're right about the lollipops. And the guy goes, I told you, enjoy.
That's what his text said?
No, it felt like, I told you, enjoy. Everything was like,
yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're really high.
It was so strong. It lasted for like 3 hours. I was so scared.
You didn't enjoy it at all?
Nah.
Just
and it was
terrifying.
A little bit of a nausea.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm starting to do weed, though.
That was not a horrible drug experience. But it was
rough because I'm not an expert and I'm
well, you're also used to having control of your faculties.
Always. Yeah. I was like, what the fuck? And I was looking around and then I went to the mirror to see if I was in slow motion and I felt like I was in my own body in slow motion.
Yeah.
But I was moving normally. But I was like, ooh, man, what the fuck, yo?
Yeah, so now you're in, though. So now you're getting high, like,
and
every
so
day?
I try.
You try to
but
get
what's
high
great
every
is, like, people always want to give me free shit because I'm not a drug dude.
Right.
But they go, hell yeah, I'm smoking weed with Godfrey, and that's
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because I have at least a little bit of a name. I'm tiny. I'm mid-level.
No, me too.
I'm mid-level. No, I think you're, like, kind of famous now.
High
but
mid-level.
You're, no, I think you're
I'm
famous.
Top of the mid-level.
I think you're famous where you want to be famous. This is where you want to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Theaters.
Yeah.
You're not trying to do arenas. You're not an arena guy.
No, could never do an arena. But a lot of pressure.
Do you honest? Okay, we were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Keith, we're talking about would you be happy to do arenas? I would say, and I told him, yo, I wouldn't mind doing arena for like the money wise, but I would, if I had a choice, I'd rather do a theater.
Yeah.
Just more intimacy.
This is really the first time I'm going out for the small theater run.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've done some. There are some cities I can do it in, like 800 to 1,000 seaters.
Okay.
Like the type of comedy, like to make a theater like your size, you got to make it your size, or you try to
or
get as big as the theater.
Yeah, you're.
And then it's like it might get a little weird
because
I know
clubs?
I do, you know. But like I like good like certain comedy clubs.
Yeah.
I don't like all of them. Some
no,
of them
right,
are not great.
Right.
But I, you know, we'll see. I'm gonna go out and see how it feels, and then after this tour, maybe
you gonna
just
do a special. What are you gonna do?
Yeah,
special?
I'll do a special.
When the fuck are you gonna do a special?
Another
dude?
Special. Yeah. Have you done one yet? A special?
I did. Black by Accident, Comedy Central. I did it at the Gramercy Theater. Standing, it was great.
Oh, yeah.
It went
pretty
good. Black by Accident. You guys can go on iTunes with that one. Still, I did like 3 years ago, Black by Accident. Thank God there was that storm. Remember that storm that hit? Was it Sandy? Whatever, that hit New York? Good, because everybody had to stay in.
I don't know if you should say that.
Well, shut up.
sad for the people that
watched. Shut up. People had to like kind of stay
I'm
in.
Sorry that was difficult and you lost your house and stuff, but Godfrey's happy you got to watch his
no,
thing.
You know what? You're throwing me under the fucking bus.
You threw yourself under the bus. I'm
I
trying
sure
to throw
did.
You a line.
Well,
trying
you're
to
right.
help you. We
yeah,
don't even have
right.
to put it in.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. I left the door open for you.
So you feel good? Are we good?
I feel awesome, dude. I feel awesome. I'm working.
Where are you living?
Oh, man. The old Oakwood Apartments. They put me up at the Oakwood Apartments.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's classic.
Classic Oakwood. I used to drive past her going, fucking the Oakwoods.
Everyone who's from, who, like anyone who's anyone who didn't want to move here but got a gig here has lived in the Oakwood Apartments.
That's a forensic file story right there. Mm-hmm. You could literally murder a motherfucker. I'm surprised they haven't done a horror
furnished
show.
Apartments.
They're furnished. It's good. Yeah. It's great. It's good. You know, you don't have to worry.
But that's known for where they put people up to who's doing long-term
everybody
gigs.
And their mama's over there.
Yeah.
You just don't really see them, but you see them, but you don't.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because, you know, it's
they're trying
woodsy.
To be cool.
It's woodsy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's woodsy.
And the show puts you up there?
Yeah, man. I
good,
thought that was
dude.
Cool.
I'm glad you're working.
Are you really happy?
Yes.
I'm glad I'm working, man. It's not I'm it's not cool to come
you.
To LA
I like
and not
you.
Be working.
The reason why we have a good time is because we like each other.
You you struggle to say that one.
No. We could not do what we do. We could not do what we do if we didn't like each other.
No, you're right. You're right.
I always liked you.
You have?
Yes.
You know, sometimes people will think, Mark Maron doesn't like me.
Yeah.
People think that. I go, no, that's just his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just him not liking him.
He did, right. That's his face not liking him that is reflecting out to you.
That's right. That's exactly
right. But he's actually looking at himself.
Exactly.
That's he's sort of like a Salvador Dali of his own face.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's right. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like him.
You know, I said the Salvador Dali of his own face. Yeah. You got it because I'm in your fucking world.
Yeah. I think I got it. I liked it. I liked the combination.
But did you understand it? Because that one fucking painting of him painting himself.
Oh, yeah. Looking with the wide eyes. Fucking,
oh.
Yeah.
I was in the museum in Tampa. Uh-huh. He has his own museum. It's sick as fuck, too.
Is that where the Dali Museum is?
Oh, it's beautiful. Beautiful.
The canvases are a lot smaller than people think.
Right. They're a lot smaller. There's some are big as shit, though.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow, he painted himself about to paint something looking back at you. Wow, is that talent.
You like the art. You go to the museums.
Yeah. I'm an art. My girl's an art. We love the art shit. She's very medieval, too. She's really an expert in medieval history.
Really?
She knows her. Oh, she's sick with it, man. Sick with it. Anthropology and medieval. So we go.
What does she do?
She's private equity, finance, Rutgers University, top of her class, business. Sick as fuck.
Got it.
She was a trader. Yeah. She was at Barclay. She's dope.
You should hold on to her.
Fuck. I am.
Because you're having a dream with this show business.
I know. Man. I'm always fucking up. I'm always acting an ass. And so she's like, yo, you stupid ass. You know, she's like, you know what I mean? You know, I fucked up many times and she's forgiven me a lot of times.
You gonna have some babies or what?
No, she doesn't give a fuck about that either. She thinks they're gonna come out funny too. She's like, that shit's gonna come out funny as shit. I go, all right, let's not do any. I don't know. She goes, we're two totally different looking people and it might come out weird.
Huh.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
It might, because it could happen.
Where's she from?
Jersey. So maybe she doesn't want none of that Jersey in the baby.
Good to see you.
Good. Thanks for. I would love to come back someday.
Jesus Christ! We just did.
I'm just trying to get my dibs in, dude. That's all.
Do you count for two black men?
Yes. I can even talk like this. Hey, Mark, I want to tell you, man, I really appreciate you bringing me here, man.
Hold it. Save it. Dog. Save it for next time.
Okay, I'll just come as a different dude.
Thanks, buddy. Funny, right? Fun guy. Little edgy with me. Little edgy with each other. It's been that way for 20 years. Love that guy. Godfrey. That's it. Go to WTFpod.com for all your WTF pod needs. Port Chester, Huntington, New York. Red Bank, New Jersey. I'm coming towards the end of the month. Go to WTFpod.com/calendar. Get tickets, will you? Thursday, Judd Apatow is on the show for a second time. That's a rare thing. I never do that, but... You know, we wanted to talk. We were going to do a short one. Then we got to talking. We had a nice conversation. Then also on Thursday, tremendously big announcement for everybody involved. Big announcement for everyone involved. Me, you, people in other countries, around the world. I'm going to make an announcement on Thursday that's going to have reverberations around the world. I'll leave it at that. No music tonight. No guitar playing anyways. Why not just listen to the sound of the waves? Right? Pretty good, right? Fucking waves. Fucking relaxing, isn't it? So listen to them. Oh, fuck yeah. Relaxing. Boomer lives. Hey folks, this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. You know all those times you've heard guests sneeze on the show? Well, actually, you don't hear any of that because we cut the sneezes out when we're editing. But take my word for it, people definitely sneeze in here. And when they do, I've got a box of Kleenex on the table right in front of them so they can use one and get right back to business. And here's what Kleenex means to me, a tissue that will hold up. We've all used those other tissues that you blow holes right through. When I see Kleenex, I know that tissue is up for the job. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.